I'm just like you. A man or a woman of struggles and hearts, problems, and looking for answers. So I think we'll have a great time together. How many of you have ever spent any time or have ever seen the wheel illustration? If you just raise your hands. Raise them high. Maybe I should have asked, who hasn't? Maybe that would have been easier. Oh, about 20 of you haven't. Part of our time this morning we want to spend on drawing out this illustration on what really makes a Christian go. And then the rest of the time I'd like to spend with you on the Word, on that topic, and sharing some things that I've been seeing the last 4 or 5 months. And I think that we'll have a good time together. I recruited my wife to draw this, and the main reason I've never been able to draw a circle. Have you ever been able to draw a circle? Some people have a knack for hitting it right on the, you know, just a perfect circle, but I'm not one of those kind. If that had been my circle, it would probably look like an A, or probably been related to the four squares of the side. Let's look to the Lord. Father, we realize that your word is for us, and we realize that it is a book to teach us how to live and not to give us head knowledge. Your word tells us that knowledge puffs us up, but love edifies. And we pray as we look to you now that you would take the word of God and burn deeply into our lives a few things this morning that will change them into the image of Christ by your Spirit. Now we commit this time to you because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you had to pick one verse that you know so far on the Christ-centered life or the life that is centered in Jesus Christ, what would you pick? What verse? Come on now. What's your favorite verse on the Christ-centered life? Got one?
John 15:5.
John 15:5. Can you quote it?
I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing.
All right. On this particular issue, I want to put Christ over here. John 15:5. Someone else have a verse? Christ-centered life. Amen. Can you quote it for us or read it? Galatians 2:20. Another one? Look at Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Christ-centered life. This is where we're going to draw the power to operate on. And really, people, if we're not Christ-centered, we're not Christian. It's His life and not ours. And that is, this exchange life business is one that I've been learning for years, and I still have got very little of it in my life. But from the standpoint of Him being the very core of our lives, what's John 14:6 say? Okay, he says he's the way, he's the truth, and what? The life. That's the only life we have, gang, is his life. And that's the reason why to live the Christian life, if we don't submit our will to him, We're bucking life. We're actually bucking the very thing He's given to us. John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to kill and to steal and destroy, but I am come that you might have life, and you might have it what? More abundantly. And because we're human, fleshly, mortal, we think in terms of, well, what He's got for me is not as good as what I've got for myself. But this is it, gang. This is life. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John 1. Now, what's the 14th verse say? The Word was made flesh. And that's the direction we're going. I want you to just hang it in your mind, because we're going to get there at a while. The Word was made flesh. Okay, a Christ-centered life. He is all. That's it. Look with me at Colossians 1 on His attributes just a moment, and we'll move on. Colossians 1, verse 15. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, verse 14, 15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, there in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones, dominions, powers, principalities, all things are created by Him and what? For Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things what? Someone have a modern translation on that? All things are held together. And He is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have what?
First place.
First place. Now, I'd like to just throw something out here for you. There's a great difference, I feel, between Him having first place and Him having everything. And you say, I don't know, I don't follow that. Well, I've seen this thing kicked around. Well, He's number one in my life. And in the life not match up to Him being number one. So I like to say that He's everything, gang. He's all we've got. He's not number one, and we're not number two. He's everything. He is life. Well, if I may, in going in the direction of seeing the Christian, obedient Christian in action, I'd like to skip the Word right at this point. Now, it goes here. It is us, our vertical receiving from God. These two vertical spokes are our intake. Prayer and the Word of God. Now, we're not going to function properly if any of these spokes are out around. I want you to keep that in mind as we go. You've seen a flat tire, I'm sure. Well, today there aren't many flat tires anymore. You don't see too many of them. But I've had a few. Everybody had a flat tire sometime or other? Well, what happens if one of these spokes gets shortened? What happens? You're running out of round, right? You ever seen some nervous Christians? Ever seen some unstable Christians? They're just shaking. I submit we got one spoke longer than the other. And maybe we left out a spoke, if that's possible for a wheel to run spokeless. Let's talk about prayer just briefly. And keep in mind, we're going to come back to the Word and finish our time together there. And getting the Christian in line with Christ before we go in prayer. And getting this obedient Christian in action to hear. We've used this word obedient. Now, I'd like you to just turn to one verse with me right now, and we'll come back to something later. John 6:46. Would somebody read it, please? Okay. Who's ready? Well, everybody just jump at once now.
Not that anyone has seen the Father except him who is from God. He has seen the Father.
I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong reference. Did you turn to Luke 6:46? Now, if this verse doesn't stand you on your ear, you're in a different ball game than I am. I'll guarantee you. 6:46, please. We'll go back to you again.
Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not Lord, Lord?
Does it hit home? From Skip's message last night, does it hit home? Call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. And like Skip says, we cannot get frustrated with trying to apply 40,000 things to our life at once. But just picking one thing at a time and going after it, the Christian life. What does this word Lord mean to you? Anybody? Master. Someone else?
Teacher.
Well, what?
Overseer.
Overseer. In terms of a shepherd. Right. Master. Well, if we deal with just the word master, it really puts something on us, doesn't it? Don't call me master and don't do the things that I say. Now, in my company, someone tells me to do something. If I don't do it, I better have a very good reason for not doing it. It's not that everything that comes down the pipe is right for us. But if we don't question it, at least in the company I work in, you better get it done. Now, this is the way God operates. He says, this is the way it is, and this is the way we got to go. We had a conference that some of you were there at, Ghost Ranch. Maybe that's the reason I couldn't think of it. Ghost Ranch. And one of our sessions on the home, we talked about premarital sex. And someone brought up the issue, and I said, well, the only problem is God says no. No matter what everybody else says, no matter what everybody else is talking about, and it's the now and whatever, the problem is that God says no. And do you believe that? Yeah? Do you believe that God's got a good reason for what he says? Well, that's what we're talking about here. The obedient Christian in action, we're not going to be in action if we're not obedient and do the things that he says. Luke 6:46. Man, I'm going to turn that now. Erase that out of the computer. Okay, let's talk about prayer a few moments. What's your favorite verse on prayer?
Well, I'll put one on.
Matthew 7:7-8. Someone can quote it? Well, I thought you guys were awake. Come on now. Does anybody quote it? Can anybody read it? Ask? What?
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened.
I like the way you read that. Shall be opened.
And what are the three action verbs there?
Asketh.
Ask, seek, and knock. Now, in your prayer life, if you, where are you? You see, are we just asking? Are we seeking? And then from that point, are we knocking? That's perseverance, King. That's really putting it on in the prayer life. That's not just that little quickie time. We're going to have real fellowship with Christ. We're going to spend some time in prayer. Now, you may start spending a couple of minutes in prayer. I don't care how many minutes you spend. Just communicate with Him if it's just a few seconds. Communication. Ask, seek, knock. Well, one of my wife's favorite verses, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Does someone quote that? Okay.
Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving unto the Lord, and the Lord of God, the peace of God, and the captives. All these things should keep your hearts and minds to the Christ Jesus.
A marvelous promise, isn't it? Your heart garrisoned with peace, is the way Phillips puts it. Diane Doty's version is, pray about everything, worry about nothing. Pray about everything, worry about nothing. John 15:7. You abide in me, and my words abide in you. You shall what? Ask. Huh? Ask what you will, and in what? Shall be given you. There is conditional. It is a conditional verse, right? We must abide in Christ. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, like I told you a while ago. All right, let's move on. Did everybody get all the references now on that one? Let's turn to Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Now we're going to go on the horizontal level with fellowship and witnessing. You might want to make a little note here. Here's some fellowship benefits. We're all looking for benefits in life. In fact, we operate as human beings on what will it do for us. Well, this is a natural, God-given thing to us. We always are asking, what will it do for me to fellowship with other Christians? Well, here's some things, that we'll do. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. No man lives unto himself, and if you're an isolation Christian, I doubt that you are since you're here. If you are in isolation, you're missing some great benefits spiritually. Now look at this. A fellowship will produce provoking to what? Have your love increased and your good works increased. Now, aren't you stimulated when you come to a conference such as this to follow harder after Christ? Naturally you are. Well, this is the benefit of weekly, consistent, solid Christian fellowship. It's a must for our lives. Now, if you're not getting time with other Christians, I would suggest you change your pattern of living and get time with brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I'm not talking about social fellowship. And we all need social outlet. I'm talking about biblical fellowship, where you sit down and you can share the person of Christ with somebody else.
and share what's been going on in your life. This, to me, is getting at the core of fellowship. Now, I'm not saying I know everything about fellowship, but I do know that. That if Christ isn't there, you're not having fellowship. 1 John 1:3 says, what? Where is the fellowship centered here? That which? Okay, who is it with? The Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if your fellowship weekly is not accomplishing that, you're not having fellowship, as I see it. Now, I have a very close friend that let this fellowship get too long. And he bit the dust spiritually for 3 years. He got to fellowshipping all the time. Like at Oklahoma State, where I came to know Christ and came to know the Navigators, we had fellowship, oh my. I was averaging 3 hours of sleep a night my senior year. And when I graduated, I could not hold an intelligent conversation. You see, I was so shocked. I'd stutter and stammer, and one thought pattern would run into the other. I was shocked. Why am I talking about that now? I'd go over to Tink's house, and we'd sit and read the Word till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, there's balance in this. Fellowship. Does someone have a favorite verse they want to share with us before we move on to the next one? Okay? All right. Very good. 1:7 and 1:3. We talked about Hebrews 10:24 and 25. Someone else have a verse they want to share with us on fellowship? Thank you. All right, let's talk about witnessing for a few moments. Thank you. Put that into the computer. All right, witnessing. Give me some verses on witnessing. What's God been doing in your life on witnessing? Well, I have several here I'd like to share with you, and let's start with Matthew 4:19. The reason I like this verse is it's a great promise to me. All of us work in tough circles. And the circle I work in is tough, petroleum. It's tough. If you're in the service, it's tough. If you work at the hospital, it's tough. Everywhere we go, it's tough. But look at this promise. Look at it. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you could go away from here claiming this verse for your life, I would say there's enough people here to change the world, including myself. I'm claiming this verse. I believe God can do this in my life. Is it conditional? What is the condition?
Following
Christ. What was one of the great attributes of David? We see it in the book of Acts. Did I ring a bell with you? You bet. Man, his heart just panted for God. Just panted for God. He was a man after the heart of God. Do you understand that? I don't think I do. But I want to. But I believe it means that everything we do is centered. God is this what's on your heart? If you just start with that prayer, I know that'll change your schedule. Is this what's on your heart? And expect an answer, because he'll tell you. Follow me, following Christ. We could spend a whole hour or two or three on following Christ. It's a great encouragement to me. Romans 1:16. This kind of progresses from who makes us witness. Acts 1:8 is a very good reference on this. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Every Christian today has the Spirit of God within him. That's the source of witness. It's the Spirit of God's responsibility to testify of Jesus Christ, to reveal Jesus Christ, to convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Really, all we're doing is making ourselves available to the availability of Christ to use us as a vessel. Witnessing. Romans 1:16. Gospel is the power of God to those that believe, whether they're Jews or Greeks or whatever. Gentile. It is the power of God. And let me share something with you. This isn't a message on witnessing. But jot down there underneath Romans 1:16, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4. And it tells you there that the gospel is simply stating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. Now, for a long time, I wonder, well, what is the gospel?
What was that again?
1 Corinthians 15. Actually, the whole passage is 1 through 4, but I was referring to 3 and 4. It defines what the gospel is. And I noticed in my witnessing so many times, I leave out the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I assume that whoever I'm talking to knows that. Have you done that?
The devil, I think.
Huh?
Maybe that's the devil, what the devil wants to do. You don't tell them. You don't relate to
them. Well, we can't assume anything, can we? I make that mistake, and I'm sure I'm no different from you. All right. 1 Peter 3:15. The sanctified vessel. Now sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is within you. Asketh you of the hope that is within you. The reason for the hope that's in you. Gang, can you share that right now with anybody? Are you ready right now to share your faith? Let me give you a practical suggestion if you're not. One of the first things that my spiritual papa did for me was he says, why don't you write out what Jesus Christ has done for you? And then he started taking me witnessing. And then he started putting me in the fraternities and we'd present the gospel. How many of you have ever written out your testimony? It's a good exercise, isn't it? Did it help you? I think it'll help most of us. Just put it out black and white. Well, how did I come to Christ? And I've had people do this that recognize they weren't Christians. How about you? You ever had that happen? Right here in Colorado Springs, at one of the fine churches here, they had a lady come to participate in a vacation Bible school. And one of the NAV gang women was presenting the bridge. And she says, is there anybody here that would like to come up and work with me on this? This girl raised her hand. So she walks up to the board. And they start talking about the bridge. And she turned to this lady and says, have you ever done this? She said, no. And she was, you know, she is serious. And she said, would you like to? She says, yes. So before about 60 women She received Christ. Well, if we may, if there's no questions on obedience, the Christ-centered life, prayer, fellowship, and witnessing, I'd like to move on. But if you have some questions on this, shoot. Does this thing make sense to you that have never seen it before? Make sense? It's a very practical illustration of what is essential to get us moving as a Christian. Now, if you turn in the Word to Deuteronomy 8:3. Everybody there? Starting with verse 1, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, where thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and he fed thee with manna, which thy fathers knew not, which you knew not, neither your fathers knew, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Keep your finger there and turn to Matthew 4:4. We see the temptation of Jesus Christ. Now, he had fasted here, hungered. This is Jesus Christ's experience with a direct encounter of Satan in the wilderness. Now, at this point, he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. He was hungry. Would you have been hungry? All right. 40 days, 40 nights, and here comes the tempter. What does he say? Verse 3. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that be made bread. And what's Jesus Christ's answer? Deuteronomy 8:3. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. John 6:35, Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. He that comes to me is not going to hunger nor get thirsty. How about that? Now, we see that Jesus Christ had applied Deuteronomy 8:3 to his life. He was not concerned about physical food. His main concern was living by the Word of God. The words that I speak unto you, John 6:63. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? Anybody? Life. They are spirit, and they are life. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 32, 46 and 47. Let me show you a thrilling verse. Deuteronomy 32,
46 and 47. And he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words that I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of this law, for it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your what?
Life.
I have never seen a successful Christian who was not a man or a woman of this book. And the reason it is that way, it's the way God operates. It's another one of those absolutes. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. Well, let's get close to home. Let's talk about symptoms of living by bread only. In a negative sense, symptoms of living by bread only. And we'll see if some of these things touch you like they touch me. The first one is you're going to be restless. The Christian who is not in this book and feeding on it and having his soul satisfied at the feet of Jesus is going to be restless. Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come. Buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and ye labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, some of us have trouble with fatness, but I don't think too many of us have trouble with fatness of soul. You like to have your soul fat? You got to get to the source. Got to get to the spiritual food. And does this fit your life by chance? It has mine. Well, here we are, running around, throwing dust in the air. What was that thing that Skip said about blowing your horn at your own taillights? Is that what he said? I didn't catch all of that. That's really where we go. Restless. You know. And this stems from our old nature, because the scriptures tell us that the wicked have no rest. They're like a troubled sea and they just keep churning. And so this is that transition we haven't fully made. If we're restless, we're just churning, shaking again, without shocks. All right. Let me give you another symptom of living by bread. We've already talked about it, John 15:5. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. If you're living by bread only, you're going to be fruitless. Powerless. Powerless. You're going to be powerless. Hebrews 4:12. An old standby verse. Anybody quote it? The Word of God is what? Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow. And we'll be powerless Christians if we're not equipped with this book. We'll be powerless personally in our own personal lives, and we're going to be powerless as we relate to others. I had down, you know, Skip stole one of mine last night.
Sure did. I had down this business. First Kings 20:40. And while I was here, yonder, and there, well, the prisoner got escaped. Business. Ineffective prayer life. Proverbs 28:9. Here's one that ought to stand you on your ears. It has me. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination to God. It's a pretty strong verse, King. If we're not saturating our lives in this book, our prayer is an abomination to God. That's strong language, isn't it? Tomorrow you're going to be spending some time on 1 John 5:14-15 on prayer. And take heed to that verse, because there's some great instruction there about praying according to God's will. Alright, you'll be faithless. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We can pray, God, increase my faith. We don't open this book. He not increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's another absolute. How did you come to Christ? Very, very few people come to Christ. In fact, I've never heard it. They don't get exposed to this, which generates faith in their life. We quoted John 6:63 earlier. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You'd be lifeless. Then peaceless. Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then had your peace been like a river, and thy righteousness as waves of the sea. Peaceful. The work of righteousness is peace. And the effect of righteousness is quietness and assurance. Generally speaking, a Christian who's all churned up is not in the Word. Peaceless. Like a troubled sea, you know. This thing of restless, they're very close together. Well, let's talk about some things that are benefits from being in the Word of God. I'm taking a moment here to check this schedule. 9:45, we're supposed to break. Okay. All right, benefits from living by God's Word. Jeremiah 15:16 says, Jeremiah 15:16, he says, you know, I found the Word of God. I did eat the Word of God, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Getting that spiritual intake produces joy and rejoicing. And newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may, what? Grow thereby. As a benefit, you'll grow as a Christian. Grow. 1 Peter 2:2-3. Hebrews 5:14. Verse 13. Hey, this lets you know where you are. by the way, if you want to analyze your life this morning, here's a way to know where you are in the Christian life. 5:13 says, "For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongs to them in their full age. Even those who by reason of the use of the word of God have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." Now you may be at a stage in your life where you're not making too many decisions, but that won't be for long. It depends upon a lot of things. Your maturity, your age, what you're doing. But gang, we need to know how to make decisions, whether good or evil. And that comes as a result of saturation with the Word of God. Being permeated through and through with the principles that the Scriptures tell us. Then we'll know what is good and what is evil. So, as a result of being in the Word of God, the benefit to us as individual Christians is that we don't make goofs. Now, I'm not saying if you goof, you've had it. I'm saying if you're in the book, you're going to have a greater percentage of right decisions. And all of us make bad decisions. Man, I make them all the time. Some of them are little minute things, and some of them are large, which have great consequences. You see, David made a great mistake. He got to wandering around the housetops in his old age and saw Bathsheba, you see. Now, after he had murdered her husband and laid with this woman, God says, man, you're out of it. So Psalms 51 tells us he repented. After the prophet got a hold of him and shook him down a little bit. But now, here's the forgiven, great warrior of God. But that very act ruined his kingdom. You see what I mean? About the benefits of being saturated with the Word of God, we'll make good decisions. If he'd been spending some time with God, he would have got in that situation. All right. Good decisions result from being in the Word. Okay, let's move on. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3, you've probably heard 1,000 times. But just for a few moments, let's turn to the first chapter of Psalms and look at this great passage. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of God, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. He'll be a pros. I don't know where I can say that word or not. You'd be prosperous as a Christian. Prosperous as a Christian. See, you're in there all the time. You're in the Word day and night, through Scripture memory, through Bible study, through meditation, reading. It should be like a tree. Have you ever been down in Louisiana and seen those great, huge cypress trees? Are on the northwest, the great northwest, these mammoth trees. Those choking roots just keep going down and down. I wonder how deep those roots are. Some of them are shallow, but they're getting to the water. Prosperity. You'll bear fruit, and you won't be a barren tree. I mean, you look good. You know, the leaf won't wither. You look good. And that ought to appeal to some of you in the room. I'm past, you know, help. All right. Well, I just want to share another one with you, and then we'll have some questions and answers. And let you share something that's on your heart. Well, let me throw in Acts 20:32 before we do that. Paul gets ready to leave this group of believers and gets ready to get in the ship and go to Jerusalem. And he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among which you're sanctified," are set apart for God. Built up. A strong spiritual being. A man that is built up. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17 tells us, at least Phillips puts it this way, that the Word of God is the comprehensive equipment for the man of God to do all God's work. Now you don't see a carpenter run on the job and have no hammer, no, you know, saws, whatever. He just doesn't show. So, being built up, having the equipment to handle what God puts before us. Now, I'd like for you to just turn to Isaiah 66:2 with me, and then we'll do something else. It'd be better if I turned to 66:2 rather than 62:6, right? Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. I tell you, if you want to get God's attention, tremble at his word. It's a great benefit. If you don't feel like you're getting God's attention, get in the book. And respect his word. Because I guarantee you he's looking for laborers. And not necessarily to send you to, you know, there or there. He'll start with you right where you are. In Jerusalem. Well, there's a great many things we could talk about benefits. Do you ever think in terms of benefits as far as the Word of God is concerned? I hope I haven't hit a completely different thought pattern for you and you lost me. You're with me? Am I communicating? So essential, right here, is these two elements. Two-way communication with God. And the way he operates, we'll talk to him, and as you spend time in the Word, he'll speak to you through the Word. You'll take that verse back to him, and he'll talk right back to you with it. That's a vital relationship with God, as far as I'm concerned. It is a thrilling thing to me. To spend time with God. Open the Word and he speaks. I talk to him and he speaks some more. I talk to him and he takes the Word and speaks back to me. Have you heard? Has God been talking to you? Or is this a foreign thought to you? It's available, gang. This relationship with Jesus Christ is available. There's a few spiritual principles you have to apply. But it's a cinch if you apply them. There's some things that hang you up in this area. And I would submit one of them is you're not convinced this is the Word of God. Another one might be that you're hung up on grace and law and all this Mickey Mouse. Oh, I'm under grace. I don't have to do anything. And the guy comes along, boy, if you don't get in the book, God's not going to bless you. And neither one of them were God's pattern. The law was given us to point us to Christ. And all the commandments are fulfilled. Every last one of them in love thy neighbor as thyself. As you love God. And so the law, it has its meaning. But you go tramping down here, now you got to have this blood sacrifice and this burnt offering. And You got to committees. You got to go to committees. Yeah. Got to go to committees. Yep. Got to do this. You got to do this. That's the way God operates. All He wants to do is establish a personal relationship with you. That's it. That's the Christian life. I know when we was at Oklahoma State, we had a lot of pressure from church groups there. We'd go over and talk to the fraternities and this, that, and yon. And they're always bugging us. You know, you didn't come to that committee meeting. Well, I was over to, you know, I was doing this. Or, well, you're just guys are just worthless. You're not faithful. I'll never forget what Jack said. He says, all right, go ahead and just committee thy way to heaven. Just go on. Committee thy way to heaven. That's not it, gang. Works of obedience only, not works. And this is where we get all turned around. If we stay with Him and spend time with Him, He'll tell us what to do. It'll be His initiation. It will have His blessing. Going out and throwing dust in the air, joining this and doing that, and get all filled up where you don't have time with God, you're headed for destruction.